been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you all for joining the show. It is a somber week around the NFL, around the world, really. Everyone is discussing what happened on Monday night. So joining me, as always, to talk all things Baltimore Ravens and football in general, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hanging in there, man. Doing all right. You know, it's been a crazy end of the week 17 as we know it. You know, first and foremost, as we know, thoughts and prayers to DeMar Hamlin and his situation. I really hope the young man makes a full recovery. I mean, I'm having goosebumps now just thinking about talking about it. Never seen anything like this. I mean, we've witnessed some horrific situations before in sports, but you know, this is up there too. And, you know, I certainly want to hear your reaction. I couldn't wait to talk to you about it. I was looking forward to, you know, discussing this situation with you because, obviously I want to know your thoughts. I really haven't talked to you much since it happened, which is on purpose, right? I kind of wanted to save it for our show and really be raw and genuine and really, really find out. But yeah, you know, for my, first and foremost, our thoughts and prayers to the Hamlin family, you know, football secondary, right? You know, obviously the health and safety of these players and human beings are first and foremost in the sport. It's, you know, they put their lives out there, man, their risk, you know, it's a big risk that they take, and for the sake of entertainment and for the sake of, you know, what we like to do, you know, with fantasy and betting and, you know, rooting hard for a team and hopefully ultimately they win a Super Bowl. And, you know, when stuff like this happens, it puts it all in perspective, you know. And I don't know about you. Did you watch the game live as it happened? Like, were you watching Monday night or were you busy?
I was not watching Monday night. I was actually watching the Andor Star Wars show on Disney Plus. Now that the holidays are over, I was I have a backlog of like TV shows I wanted to watch. And after like how terrible that Ravens game was on Sunday night, I was like, I can't watch any more football for a week. I mean, that was just so bad. I don't want to see any of it. And I was actually still on vacation at the time. And my girlfriend texted me and said, "Hey, are you watching the Monday night game?" I said, "No, I'm watching the Star Wars series." And she goes, "Something happened. Apparently a player collapsed and they brought an ambulance out." So I just like texted back in all caps, "Oh my God." And then I turned on ESPN. So by the time I was tuned in, the ambulance had been on the field and gone. And it was a lot of the reporters kind of like telling the crowd what happened and what was going to happen next. The game was being postponed at the time. It was not being called off by the time I tuned in. So I kind of saw what happened afterwards. I wasn't watching it live. I was kind of in the aftermath of everything. What about you? Were you watching live?
Yeah, I was certainly watching live with my dad. Obviously, as I do every Monday, it's a tradition with my father. And, you know, not only that, but it was rooting hard. Obviously, it was fantasy championship week or the last week in fantasy, and we had some players involved. And, you know, we were doing just our normal routine, you know, getting together as we do as football fans and watching a good Monday night football game. It was supposed to be a good one, right? And, you know, the tragedy struck. And, yeah, I watched it live. And, you know, when it first happened, you know, it was crazy because I was like, my initial reaction was, that was such like a routine play. Like,
right.
It was like a normal tackle. Yeah, normal tackles can still be, you know, I almost wouldn't use the word violent, for lack of better words. It's not really violent. I would say, yeah, normal tackles can really, he put it this way, you can still get hurt on a normal tackle, you know, no matter what. I mean, we've seen it before, but not to this magnitude. And I was a little scared and concerned. And immediately I thought it was more severe than the concussion. Because, look, we've dealt with the Tua Tagovailoa mess this year and with the concussions. And then we've seen, you know, with the Ravens-Steelers game before, both quarterbacks being knocked out with concussions. It's a big issue in the NFL this day and age, right? It's a hot topic, especially this year with the Dolphins, with Tua being out again. And when he made the tackle, he got up. When I saw him, like, fall backwards, I was like, first knee-jerk reaction, concussion. But I was like, no. I'm not a doctor, not in the medical field, but I'm like, that ain't no concussion. It's something more serious. Like, the dude just, like, literally fell backwards. And I'm like, I was very, very concerned, very scared. Didn't know what to think. Obviously, just waiting it out and seeing what could happen. And just, I just put it this way. I never forget the looks on these players' faces when they discovered what was being administered and what was going on and all that. And the sheer, you know, the sheer concern on their face and the display of sadness, you know, it just was wild. Like, seeing Josh Allen's face and seeing some of the Bills players' face, and even the Bengals, man, like, couldn't imagine, you know. And trust me, when I heard the 3-letter CPR, I looked at my dad, I'm like, this ain't good at all. Like, obviously, you know, when you hear that, you know, you put two and two together, you're reviving somebody. So I'm like, yo, this is not something that we ever want to see or witness to anybody. And, you know, obviously, you know, I knew immediately they weren't going to play the game, and I knew it was going to be the right call. And I'm glad they didn't play it. They did the right call. NFL did a great job. Because how could you after something like that? You know, the game goes on, right? You know, Brandon, we always hear it. It's always that next man up, right? Ah, you know, like look what happened in the Steelers game, you know, this year. Huntley goes down, concussion, you know, Brown comes in and, you know, leads the team to victory and finishes the game. Just like in the Broncos game this year, right? Lamar goes down, Huntley comes in, leads us to the game-winning drive. It's always been like that. Like, yeah, the injuries, you know, happen, but then it's always like, you know, you go on, right? It's always like the show goes on, but this time the show didn't go on. It stopped and it didn't happen. And for all the right reasons, as we know it, and, you know, if everybody's following it, you know, we can certainly provide the update, but it almost needs not to be said because the updates are all out there. I know everybody probably is on top of it, but, you know, certainly want to get it out there that, you know, he was on oxygen, not breathing on his own in the hospital. He rushed right to the hospital. Apparently the update is he is breathing somewhat on his own. I heard it went from 100 to 50% is what we're told in the reports. He's still in ICU, listed in critical but stable condition. His vitals are apparently normal, but we certainly wish this young man a full and speedy recovery out of this horrific situation. And really just our hearts pour out to, you know, Buffalo's community, Hamlin's family, even Cincinnati's community. I mean, T. Higgins was involved in the play. You have to feel for that young man. You know, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't anybody's fault. It happened. It was a freak accident is what I've heard it been called. You know, just one of those situations where it's just unfortunate. And no one can explain why. No one can explain how. But, you know, we have a young man fighting for his life. And, you know, we call them warriors and we call them gladiators and soldiers for a reason. And this is why. It's a dangerous game. And there's a reason why, you know, for the sake of our entertainment, we have to remember, you know, at the end of the day, these guys got families and these guys are sons, these guys are husbands, and these guys are friends and whatever title you want to put on them. And no matter how young, how old, you know, life's precious, man. Never want to see this ever again in the sport. And, you know, wow, I just seeing it live and unfold, man, it's almost like I have no words. Like, I didn't have any words when it happened. I'm just like, the whole time, I'm just like, please be okay. Please be okay. Please be okay. Like, just, wow. It's just certainly an unprecedented time in the sport. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of aftermath about it. at this point, I pray dearly for a full 100% recovery, and certainly hope that DeMar is going to make it and certainly be okay. And I believe it on my heart, and I'm certainly praying.
Yeah, I think you and I both are praying very hard, and we're joining the rest of the world in praying for a full recovery for DeMar. It is a freak accident. It's absolutely tragic. It is really hard to fathom something like that, because like that hit happened and he stood up and then he just kind of collapsed. Like I'm not positive, but it's almost like I think he helped up the player he hit as well. Like it just happened so quick. And they're saying that because of like the force against his chest made his heart kind of skip a beat or stop for a second. That's terrifying. That could happen to any football player ever on the field. It really could. That's the part of the game. It could happen to any athlete. I can't remember the player off the top of my head, but there was a player on the NHL who just got done a shift and he sat down on the bench and just collapsed mid game. These guys are put under a ton of pressure. Like you said, for our entertainment, to be fit, to be healthy, to be 100% out there on the field. And they do give it their all, but we don't want them to give it their all. We don't want this to happen again like this. You know, I was going through Twitter after this happened, it took about an hour for the NFL to call the game off. And there was so much outrage on social media about why it took so long. And it was unprecedented. You know, this had never happened in the NFL before, where somebody needed CPR on the field and needed to be transported to a hospital the way that he was. So I think the NFL was thinking about the teams that were playing, the coaches, the staff. But you also have to remember there were 70,000 people in a stadium that just watched somebody, you know, almost lose their life right there on the field. If it wasn't for the training staff doing CPR and the AED machine being readily available to kind of restart his heart, the 70,000 people just watched this poor kid who's only 24 years old. He's only 24 years old, lose a life, and he's fighting for his life right now. The guy is a fighter. So the NFL had so much to think about what to do next. And this has never happened before. And I think that it took them an hour because they were figuring out what to do and what the state of DeMar was. I go back to the late 90s. You know, you and I are both avid wrestling fans. Owen Hart was doing a stunt and he fell from the rafters of an arena and hit the ring and died, passed away. But Vince McMahon's like old line of thinking, the show must go on. 5 minutes later, after this tragedy happens, there's a match going on in that ring, and Jeff Jarrett was the next guy out there, and he goes to the corner of the ring where Owen fell, and the board, the 2x4 board underneath the mat, he could feel it was broken. That's how hard Owen had hit. And Owen's wife said that show never should have happened because there should have been an investigation on how that rigging faltered and how he fell and why he fell and that kind of stuff. But back in the 90s, that show went on. You know, Vince's line of thinking was that we have a paying crowd, there's pay-per-view, we need to entertain this crowd, we need to do this, we need to do that. I think, luckily, right now, that line of thinking has changed and the NFL stopped the game. You know, it was the right move. Even I want to say 2010, 2011, something like that, Jerry Lawler was in a match against Dolph Ziggler on Monday Night Raw, and Dolph Ziggler kept elbowing Jerry Lawler in the chest, and kind of the same thing happened. His heart kind of skipped a beat because there was so much force going into his chest at the time that after the match got finished, he sat down at commentary, and he passed out and had a heart attack live on air. I remember watching that live, and again, the show went on after that happened. Michael Cole, who was sitting right next to Jerry Lawler as he passed out and, you know, called over doctors and everything, still called a match while his friend was fighting for his life. So I'm glad that the NFL called the game. I think it was the right call. Like you said, the look on Josh Allen's face, Stephon Diggs' face, all the players for Buffalo and Cincinnati, seeing Burrow go over and hug Josh Allen. That's the kind of stuff. I don't want to see the videos of Hamlin kind of falling to the ground. I don't want to see those videos online. I want to see the videos of them hugging each other and comforting each other. And the fact that both teams kind of circled around him as he was on the field, so there weren't any camera shots of him getting CPR. You know, they circled him and the EMTs and everything there, the trainers, to make sure that none of that footage of him would be exploited. So I think that we're learning as a society, like, what to do in times like this. We just want him to make it out of it. We want him to you know, be okay. We do. Everybody is. I mean, to see M&T Bank Stadium lit up red, white, and blue, I think is a great sign of solidarity. Most of the NFL teams have changed their Twitter pictures to his name and number. It really is just a kind of wait and see. It's kind of difficult to discuss it. I was watching Good Morning Football today, and there was talk of football, but they're like, we really can't talk about the Thursday night game or the couple of extra games coming up on Sunday and Saturday because it's too difficult. We're too worried about Damar Hamlin. That's what we want to discuss. So we're all pulling for the kid. Hopefully all good things are going to come out of this, but it was very difficult to watch the aftermath of what happened on Monday and the news on Tuesday, because I was so worried that something would break, news would break, and it would be something that none of us want to hear. But he's still fighting. He's still in the hospital right now. And of course, like you said, our thoughts and our prayers and everything else are with him and his family at this moment.
Absolutely. First and foremost. And, you know, I've been, feverishly, in the midst of, my daily work day, checking socials, checking, tuning into some, the television programs to, get any updates as we can, because at this point it's almost like, it's almost like it's part of the family, right? Like you're like feverishly looking for updates because you're worried and everybody wants to know. And like you say, it's an interesting discussion because this is uncharted territory for the NFL as well, for the sports world, because we haven't really experienced anything like this tragedy. And, but I feel like in the NFL, but I feel like we sort of have, like you brought up numerous instances, right? Like in WWE and in wrestling entertainment, apparently Keyshawn Johnson brought up, there was a Jets Lions game that there was another player years ago that had a certain situation happening. He had to be administered CPR as well, but that game went on. We're not going to sit here and debate whether what one game didn't happen, it went on, and if the WWE show went on and didn't happen, and whether the Monday Night Football shutdown was the right thing or the wrong thing. We're not going to sit here and go into a debate on right or wrong. Decisions are made. We can agree or disagree. There's probably a pocket of people out there that disagree with, nah, you had to play the Monday Night game, I'm sure. And then they're going to probably get lit up for it. And people are going to have their opinions. But immediately when this came to mind was, because everybody's talking about, like, you can't play games next weekend. Why can't you? Remember, I don't know if you recall, but I was watching the race live when it happened as well. Dale Earnhardt crashed in the Daytona 500 and died, unfortunately. God rest his soul. Legend of the sport. Not to discount any lesser names of any other sports that tragedies happen to, but Dale Earnhardt is a legend of NASCAR. You might not be a fan of NASCAR, but everybody knows who Dale Earnhardt was. He died, but the show went on and they raced the following week. That was NASCAR's decision. I brought it up to some people and everybody's like, well, NASCAR is wrong. I'm not getting a debate on all the way 20 plus years ago if NASCAR was right or wrong. That's what they did. They didn't stop racing because of that tragedy. They still race the Daytona 500 to this day. They didn't like stop racing that race. They still race races, but they made changes and made that car safer. Obviously, it's different racing versus football, but that's the key. you know, everybody's like, you know, they can't play games, and I get it, right? You know, I don't know, you know, whether they do or not, that's the NFL's decision. I'm on the side that I feel like the show has to go in and they have to play games. Yeah, they can move the week because they have that buffer, and the NFL has moved games before. I believe that not only the NFL, but I feel like MLB did the same thing when the 9/11 attacks happened years ago. They kind of moved things around. I think sports kind of stood still for a week. Yeah, they can move games, but I don't think you don't play games in lieu of what happened. I feel like you don't. I think you move games and things happen because of the ramifications of the Monday night game that was not played, because that's another side of the beast is, yeah, the health and safety of this young man is first and foremost, but then there's another side of the equation that has to be discussed is, like, because the weight of that outcome of that game had so much riding on it and such ripple effects, it's like, what do you do? There's a lot of discussions the NFL are having right now is, like, is it a no contest? Do they play week 18 and then have like a whole week 19 by itself with just this game? There's a lot on the table and we really don't know. And not only that, but then there's other things involved. Like me as a fantasy manager had to navigate, like, what do you do with players? Because now a game's postponed and suspended and not being played this week. There's a lot of first for us. And, you know, but again, you know, I immediately went to that NASCAR situation, was just like, that was horrific in itself. But they decide to race, and the racers involved race the following race, and that's what they did. You know, I feel like no matter what's decide, Brandon, people are going to be unhappy about it.
Sure.
Of course, you're going to have that. You know, you're going to have the naysayers go to their keyboards and put their opinions out there that the NFL should have done this or they shouldn't have did that. I think you mentioned it before. The NFL has never navigated something like this, nor do they have the contingency plan for it. So it's like, what do you do? You know, but that's the unfortunate part is no matter what, people are going to hawk and complain and hem and haw and moan and you should do this, you shouldn't do that. I mean, people are already on the airwaves today saying, can't play games this weekend. I'm like, and I chimed right in. I'm like, NASCAR races after Earnhardt's death. So, you know, obviously, you know, this isn't that situation. But, and then of course, people are like, well, they were wrong. I'm not debating if they were right or wrong. That's a whole different set of circumstances. I'm talking about this weekend. They got, you know, because like they were even talking about this morning, I think on NFL Network, right? They were like, today's a practice thing. The Bills got to start preparing for the Patriots. Like, what do? You know, you got to go back to work, right? Like, or do you stop? Like, but apparently the NFL has said, no, there's no changes in week 18. They're still trying to figure out what to do with that Monday night game. And
I think what the NFL should probably do is just, you know, have that Monday night game just say what the score was and that's it, and it'll be a no contest.
Yeah. Unfortunately it sucks, but what do, right? Like, you know, I feel like trying to replay the game is going to be more of a headache, right?
Yeah. And I also think about it, I think Good Morning Football brought it up, but I think the NFL does have like counselors or something like that in this week to kind of talk to players if they want to talk. They don't have to, but if someone,
yeah.
I mean, it's terrifying. You think about it. This guy was just going to work. He was doing his normal job, something that he trains to do. He's in great shape, and something like this happens. If you're playing the same position that this kid was, and you're going to work, and you could easily be thinking today, that could have been me. And, you know, it could have, it really could, it could happen to anyone in any sport. So I think that the NFL having counselors there to kind of talk these guys through it is also the right step as well. I think playing games this weekend does make sense, but also being a little cautious with the players, because I mean, it's this is scary. This literally is life and death. And I think moving forward is the right thing to do, but also giving guys a chance to discuss of whether or not they want if they personally want to be out there on Sunday or not, or discussing things that are going on in their heads as well, is also the right step and a good move by the NFL as well, because this, like you said, and I heard it on I think on ESPN as well, like, these guys are warriors, they're gladiators, they put everything out there on the field, but they don't want to give everything, you know, and they shouldn't want to give everything, because they've got personal lives and they've got parents and kids and significant others and stuff like that. So I think I think moving forward and the way they're doing it cautiously is the right way to go.
Absolutely. And what they're doing is they're not knee-jerk reaction to anything, right? It's not like, well, we got to do this because of this. And again, if it were to be a new contest and the game didn't count, it would suck because look, think about the Chiefs and think about every other team, right? You work all hard all year to get what? That number one seed, the home field advantage to get to the Super Bowl. And at this point, if it were being no contest, it seems like the Bills would be kind of a shoe-in to get that one seed. And then obviously the Ravens wouldn't have a chance to win the North because that takes that away from them. So I just feel like, yeah, you just make one decision could really affect a lot of things. But I feel like, you know, me and you could agree that they should do this, and we could disagree that it might should do this, but I feel like there's no right or wrong answer. And there is no cheat sheet about this saying like, okay, this is what you should do in this situation. Because again, you know, at the end of the day, you know, yeah, we all would want the game to be played because it means that much and it impacts a lot. And I had this discussion just today, man, because I was like, just think about it if it wasn't, because look, if the Bengals were to win, they would either be the two seed. You know, they would knock the Bills to probably three. If the Bills would win, it would put them in the driver's seat for a one seed, but the Bills, because they beat the, not but the Bills, the Chiefs, because they beat the Chiefs heads up with one game to play. There's a lot going on that, but you know, it's like, do you take that opportunity away from teams and just say, okay, it is what it is? I mean, obviously, it's the easiest thing to just call it a no contest and just act like the game never happened because it almost acts like a tie. You play one less game and your winning percentage, it is what it is. And, you know, it happens, but it's almost like it's crazy to think because you remember how crazy COVID got at the height of the pandemic with the NFL and all that? They played a full schedule. There was no games canceled or postponed or anything like that. Obviously, this situation is totally different, but I'm just talking and navigating as far as moving games and getting games scheduled. Games were played on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturday. Like every they, we talked about, I think the Ravens played on like a Wednesday afternoon at like 5 o'clock, didn't they? Like,
Right. Yep.
so I mean, like I said, like I think it's because of where they're at in the season. It's tough because it's like we're in the season finale, and then the playoffs start literally less than 2 weeks. Next weekend, the playoff NFL playoffs should start. And that's why everybody was like, well, they can move it back a week because they have the bye week built in. They can just move everything, play the week 18 slate, and then have maybe the Bills and the Bengals play another one game, kind of like a one game playoff kind of deal, and that'll determine seeding right before the playoffs start. I don't know what the best way is. But then again, you have to figure because you know, we can't just, this isn't a video game where you can just say, oh, schedule it this day and play because look, there's preparation, there's coaching, there's, you know, you have to recover. These guys are human. You can't just schedule the game and be like, okay, play 3 days later or 2 days later. Like, you know, they're going to play the Patriots on Sunday at 1 o'clock in a divisional heavyweight matchup that it's pretty much a playoff game because the Patriots got to win to get into the playoffs. So, and then the Bills got to play to pretty much knock them out. And then how do you turn around and play? You know, you're asking the team and the personnel to turn around and their mind and thoughts are to their brother that's in the hospital, and you're asking them to prepare. But again, you know, there's a fine line. You know, you want to be here, thoughts and prayers, and your mind goes to there, but then you're asking guys to just, you know, compartmentalize that and kind of just say, all right, it's time to go to work. But we talked about it, you know, the entertainment industry. They certainly make decisions, and you know, we'll see what the NFL does in the coming hours and the coming days with that situation and what they deem is fair and necessary. And that's going to be the final answer, and people are going to have to live with it. You know, the players and everybody involved. You're not, I put it this way, at the end of it, you're not going to make anybody happy whatsoever. So let's just hope they make a decision that's fair and just and. You know, because that it's like it's a double-edged sword, man. Because it's, you know, you're worried about Hamlin, obviously, first and foremost, and his health. But then it's like in the back of your mind, you're thinking about the business side of things. You're like, well, how's the show going to go? And how is this going to happen? Like the analytical mind and the logistics of things start happening. And you're like, okay, well, there's a ripple effect here. I mean, there's folks going off deep end, like, okay, we'll never play football again or cancel all the games. I'm like, you're not going to just not play everything and cancel playoffs, not play Super Bowl. You know, just I just don't see that happening, obviously. You know, the show's going to go at some point, whether it's this weekend, next weekend. But as we know it, I mean, the Ravens were practicing today. You know, teams are gearing up. There's going to be football played. You know, there's important games this weekend. There's playoff spots on the line. It's the season finale of the NFL 2022 season. Or now it's 23, but it is the 2022 season. You know, there's football to be played. There's spots and playoffs to be had. And you know, tragedy aside, I personally am looking forward to it because I apart from the Ravens game, I'm looking forward to some of these matchups this weekend to see what happens. You know, there's going to be some good football to be played, and I can't wait to see how it transpires.
Well, again, our thoughts and prayers are with the Hamlin family, and we hope for nothing but the best. But
by the way, it was pretty neat, though. I will say the power community in this, not to be lost in all this, but how about everybody coming together to donate to his charity? $5 million. Is it now six?
No, it's $6 million. Over $6 million.
Man, that'd be insane. Let's go, people. Let's go. This is great.
His original goal was $2,500, and he's up to $6 million.
You've what seen a blessing. Robert, you know what Kraft said? This is what made me smile for all this for the first time in a while. You know, because this is certainly a serious issue. His uncle was interviewed and said he couldn't wait for DeMar to wake up and to see that outpouring. And I'm like, I almost smiled. I'm like, imagine when that dude wakes up full recovery and realizes what's going on. I can't wait to hear his reaction of that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to most.
Yeah. But I mean, to see, like you said, the community come together, we've seen Robert Kraft donate money. We've seen Tom Brady, Chris Jericho. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars just from those people alone.
Even that ignorant owner in Indy donated money.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is coming together. They are all wishing the best for him. But let's talk a little bit about the Baltimore Ravens. Let's go back. I don't want to. Let's go back to Sunday. Let's talk about that Ravens.
I want to talk about the Bengals matchup.
I know. I mean, I guess we have to, but let's talk a little bit about that Ravens-Steelers quote-unquote game that
another
happened.
10-point lead lost. Come on. There's the table pounding again. We were up 10 with 3 minutes to go in the third. 13-3 and lose 16-13. What is going on? Do you have any answers for us? What is going on? I'm sick of it.
This was John Harbaugh at the press conference afterwards. He wasn't
me started.
He was not a happy guy, and he says it starts with him, and it was a complete breakdown for every facet of the game.
Well, he's not only an unhappy guy, but apparently he don't know what's going on under his own roof. Someone asked him about the running game. He's like, yeah, I guess we need to get Gus the ball. Bro, you're the head coach. How do you not know what the game plan is? That was the tipping point for me. What is going on? Like, I was in Lamar's corner until this year. I was in Harbaugh's corner until this year. Now I'm like, y'all getting on my nerves. I'm sorry. Like, what is going on? Harbs, get a move on. Get a grip. Like, I'm telling you, no wonder this Fire Roman stuff just gets ridiculously louder every week. Again, I don't know. But that to me at the end of the game, when I heard that on the post game and he didn't have a clue, that was like the worst thing he could have said. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I will say that there were very few bright spots, but the few bright spots were J.K. Dobbins and Brandon Stevens. I think both of them had really good games. Tyler Huntley, unfortunately, a lot of mistakes. That ending of that game just kind of on his shoulders. Really terrible to see. I think it kind of proved that he isn't a number one guy, unfortunately, in the NFL. This is why he is a backup. Just all around not good. This was a terrible game to watch. I mean, you were there. I was bored out of my mind watching the game at home. I literally fell asleep at some point before the end of the game because I was just bored. This team had no fire, it seemed like. I mean, this is a team, like, it's week, 17, right? That's what week we're in. And this team was acting as if they were still trying to figure out who they were in weeks 3 or 4. Like, this was a team that has no identity. They don't know who they are. Are they a defensive-minded team? Are they an offensive-minded team? What are they? this team doesn't even know, and it's very evident that this team, yes, a playoff team, will be one and done, because this is not a team that can win much in January.
They aren't, and that's that goes by my statement. That's why I was kind of like, well, you know, I hate to say it out loud and be a realist, but that's why I was like on the side of like, well, I want a home playoff game to save some money on playoff tickets, because you know, look, Lamar's already not practicing. I kind of said, told you so, or we told you so, because it seems like we're in one accord on that. And it's just, it's the same old insanity crap. Like, they're just putting it out there. Like, you know, it's the same old broken record in the post game, and it's the same old this. And I thought the team had some good momentum and some good chemistry coming out of that Christmas Eve game. You know, they put it together. It was a gritty win in the cold. They're coming home. The game got flexed to prime time. It's mild. It's Steelers, Ravens. To put them on a losing record, you put them out of their misery, out of the playoff picture, and it just, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. And not only that, but hey, you were right. Ravens did not run on the Steelers this past weekend.
I told you.
You did say, you told me. Well,
I told you.
Listen to you. I guess that means I got to eat ranch on my wings, right?
That's right.
No, not happening. Max don't like it either, because he just growled as soon as I said that. He don't like that ranch. The atmosphere was great. I've been there all year. You know, there's been some sparse crowds at home. We've left angry a lot of times at home. I'm not kidding when I say this. I was really I mean, obviously we understand Christmas Eve was what it was. It was Christmas Eve, holiday weekend, cold. You know, the weekend, no one wanted to go to game, or they probably could, right? But did we show back up in the new year? New Year's Day, man, it was like a different stadium. It was like new year, new us, because it was like we were out pounding the streets and tailgating, and I'm like Ravens Walk, and I'm like, there's a ton of people here. This place
well, hold
is
on.
Be packed.
Before you say that, I'll say as I was watching, yes, it may have been packed, but there was a very loud Steelers fan group at that stadium. Like, I was getting a little worried. I'm like, wait a minute, is this Baltimore? Is this a home game for Baltimore? Because whenever the Ravens did something poorly and the Ravens or the Steelers did something great, that crowd cheered, and it was very audible on TV.
I heard that too. And I mean, I was there live. I heard it. But I would say from the vantage point that I had, it didn't seem like there was – I mean, yeah, they made noise, but to me it didn't seem like there was a lot of fans in the stands as far as the Steelers were concerned. They were all lower level their side, but I mean, you know, I felt like I seen more other opposing fans at other games this year for what it is. I mean, yeah, you're not going to keep the riffraff out. Obviously there's going to be some enemies in the ranks as far as other fans, but you know, yeah, there were some towels being twirled, but for the most part, you know, I feel like you heard them in the second half, because look, the Ravens had a 10-3 lead at halftime. Could have came out gangbusters. They had a 13-3 in the third quarter. Didn't put them away. Double digit lead. One quarter to go. Plus change. Didn't happen. And obviously we got quieter and they got louder as the fourth quarter went on. And, but I will say this. And I've heard this echoed on other people's sentiments as well on their socials. This was the, and where I was going with this, this was by far the best atmosphere at M&T Bank Stadium all year, apart from the season opener. Actually, it was better than the season opener. I felt like it just was awesome. We were loud. It took me 2 full days to get my voice back. Almost didn't get back till like Tuesday afternoon. That's how bad it was. It was full throat. There was one point, I think it wasn't that, third to fourth quarter range, where the Ravens, you know, they had these stands and they were trying to get them to get stopped. And you know, it was loud, like loud. And I'm like, this is what it's about. So I certainly want to commend the flock for showing up. Yeah, there were enemies in the ranks as we know it, but it was mostly flock members there, man. Dude, I'm proud of the contingent for showing up. I seen a lot of folks. It was third down. You know, everybody standing up in unison. We were getting rowdy. We were getting into it. So, that was the one bright spot for me for the night, is the crowd showed out for what probably is the season finale at M&T Bank Stadium, because it doesn't look like, depending on what happens with the ripple effects, as we talked earlier, Ravens might have a shot to make the AFC North crown, because obviously it all hinged on that Monday night game as well, with what the Ravens' chances were on that. If the Bills game and the Bengals game would have played out, Bills would have won and beat the Bengals. The Ravens and Bengals would have been playing for the AFC North title this Sunday. Not sure if that's going to be the case. It might just be handed to them. We'll see. But, you know, someone tried to point this out in retrospect when the Steelers ultimately beat us at the end of the game. Someone's like, well, it has less of a stink because we're in the playoffs. And I'm like, dude, we just lost to the Steelers. Are you insane? Like, get it, we're in the playoffs, right? But we just lost to the Steelers, man. Like, that hurts. I hate losing to those guys. Hate it. But, yeah, I get it. We're in the playoffs, but you want to beat them. And you don't want to go in the playoffs with a loss on that. And, look, they split. We won in each other's houses. We got it. We get it. But I look at it this way. The Ravens did everything wrong in this game that they did everything right in the previous matchup. They ran the ball against the Steelers in the previous matchup. They had a 10-point lead there, and it didn't relinquish it. They had a 10-point lead this one and lost it. Turn a ball over. Huntley did once. We didn't force any turnovers, and we got to Kenny Pickett and or Trubisky at that point. I only remember one sack on Pickett the whole night, if I remember. And it was one of probably the easiest ones where Pickett, like, fell down and Jason Pierre-Paul, like, just kind of touched him. I don't remember anywhere else where, like, I mean, I've seen some quarterback hits and pressures, but, you know, the Ravens weren't playing Raven football as they did in Pittsburgh. You know, you would think that this one would be even more intensified because, you know, and you heard it from the players. Like, J.K. was like, yeah, practices were ramped up and we were focused this week and all that. Well, maybe the Ravens should have taken a blueprint out of Tomlin, because I don't know if you know this, but it was news to me. The NFL has some limited padded practices through the year. Apparently, the Steelers saved their last padded practice for the Friday before the Ravens-Steelers bout. Coincidence? I think not. Yeah, very interesting. They were ready. We weren't. They were more prepared. They made the plays, and, dude, we couldn't stop the run. I mean, the Ravens were in third and long the whole game, and the Steelers were third and short. It's very easy when it's third and one and Pickett can rush it for a first down, or they hand it to their fullback first down, or Najee runs it for 6-7 yards on first down, and they have second and short. It sets up a lot for the playbook. But when it mattered, Steelers drove right down the field, scored the touchdown. But, look, you had to feel good with the – it was apparently questionable penalties, but some are calling it at the end of the first half. But, again, clock management at the end of the first half is ridiculous. Ravens, again, have 3 full timeouts. And they're going down the field, like, wasting time. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Luck apparently was on their side because they got stopped. It would have been a would-be field goal. There was a penalty. It's first and goal with 11 seconds left on the 7-yard line. Huntley throws it to Likely. Ravens are up 10-3. You had to feel great. The place is going bonkers at that time. You go right in the half and get it back out. But
that was a good-looking touchdown. I mean, Likely's catch was really awesome. And I was like, going into the half, I said – I'm like, going into the half, this is exactly what we want to see.
But here's where we're going to get feisty. Table pounds. That's not the iPad over again. Fourth quarter. Justice Hill, was it Justice Hill that returned the kickoff, right, to the 40?
Yeah.
He returned it to the Steelers' 40-yard line. No points. 3-and-out punt. That was it. That was the turning point of the game. They went two consecutive drives. They had on the 40, and I think the drive after that or before that, they had it around midfield. Couldn't even get in field goal range for Tucker. Now, we understand the Steelers missed a field goal in that game, hit the upright, but still, you know, there's points left on the field. But how did the Ravens go from a 40 yards to the goal line, set up shop after the nice return, and come away not only with no points, but a 3-and-out punt? Like, absolutely absurd. And, again, calling Greg Roman out, the play calling selection was, again, trash in my terms. I don't know, man. We get it. They're a playoff team. And what's funny is we can certainly sit here and Billy can criticize as we need to on the show and let it all air out. But what is funny is if you do tune into this radio, the radio airwaves around town, the way people talk and the way it is, we talked about before, they don't feel like a 10-win team, do they? We don't feel like a playoff team. It's because of the it's because of all the crap that comes with it. The circusness. It's I don't even know if that's a word, but I just made it up. The circusness. You know, all the hubbaloo. It's the Roman play calling. It's the horrible indecisions and the coach speak at the end and not taking accountability for stuff. It's players getting hurt at key moments in the season, and key players are out for the year, and key players are missing, and there's a lot. You know, there's something to celebrate. At the end of the day, the Ravens have 10 wins, and they are an AFC playoff participant this year. That's something to hang your hat on. You know, yeah, they could be like the Texans and have 2 wins, and we can sit here and complain about it, but we get it. But there's context to everything, and there's it's the way things are going down, and it's, look, they're not getting beat 30-7 to the Steelers. They have a 10-point lead in both games. They won one and then they lost one. Every game, every loss this year, they've had at least either a double-digit lead, or I think in the case of Jacksonville, they were up 9 and they were up 7. So they were up virtually 1-2 scores twice in the fourth quarter and lost that game too. They were pretty much had the game in hand in all these losses. And they slid all the way to the 6th seed, but they can slide wherever they want. They're still a playoff participant, but if things don't shake out the way we think they might, you know, they could easily be playing the Bengals 2 games in a row, back-to-back weeks. And because the 6th and the 3rd seed lock horns, the AFC South is locked into the 4th seed. As we know it, the Chargers lead from the Ravens. They're number 5. Right now, if it's deemed a no contest, if this game would be and the Bengals beat the Ravens somehow, I don't even feel like if the game is deemed a no contest from last Monday, I don't even think the Ravens and Bengals outcome matters. I think if it all stays correctly, Ravens and Bengals could very easily be playing a third bout this year in back-to-back weeks. We've seen this before with other teams where they play like literally like the last game of the regular season and turn right around and play each other in the playoff game. I think the Ravens nearly did it against the Chargers in 18, where they played the Chargers in late December and then turned around and play them like 2 or 3 weeks later in the playoffs. But that's all here, near her there, because obviously we have to wait to see what shakes out after this week and with the decisions with the NFL and how the week 18 slate stacks out or shakes out, I should say. But, it was a very ugly loss. It was kind of like, I knew it. I told you so. When they didn't put any points on them, there's 2 drives in the fourth quarter. I'm like, they got the ball with 5 minutes left. I'm like, you get a series of first downs, the game's virtually over. They don't even have to get points. And they have to put teams away. And look, are we asking too much because it's a Huntley-led offense? Probably. But look, we understand that Lamar's had his struggles this year since week 3. But I tell you, the fact remains is this team's better off with the 8 right now instead of 2 under center. Just given that personnel right now, because the Ravens, the defense has come alive and they're holding folks to mid-teens in points, but the Ravens can't score any. I mean, I think the Ravens are at least a touchdown difference with 8 under center. I get the offense has been subpar, but I don't know, man. I think 8's got to come back, but he's not practicing, and we told you so.
Well, all right, so I do want to ask you this. Let's lead into this game against Cincinnati for the last week. You said it's potentially going to be a back-to-back. I mean, we don't know because of everything that happened on Monday of what it's going to be and what's going to happen on Sunday, who's going to win that game. But let me ask you, if you were the head coach, if you were John Harbaugh this week, would you be resting any of these starters because you might see this team again in the playoffs in a week or two?
You know what? That's an interesting take. No, I don't think so. No.
How come? Why?
You know what? You actually got me stumped because, I mean, do you really want to get strategic in that realm? You know, I don't think it matters just because given the Ravens' way of doing things and the personnel that they might roll out there, I just don't think that, you know, I don't think any outcome of the game is going to matter. And if they end up playing the Bengals back-to-back weeks, I don't think that they're going to change anything as far as game plan is concerned in this game. I don't think anything were to change. as far as the approach. I just think, no, I don't think so at all.
It
Let's
already
say.
seems like Lamar Jackson will not be playing on Sunday. He missed now an entire month of practice.
But keep in mind, we called this out weeks ago, right? That's what I'm saying. I don't think anything changes. Like, they're going to do what they're going to do. And in the Ravens' case, they kind of just implement their game plan. They don't change much, right? They roll out who they roll out. They do what they do, and they just expect it to work. And that's, I think, what fans are fed up with. And I think whatever the blueprint they roll out there on Sunday, if they end up playing the Bengals the week after, they're not. Look, who am I to know? But I just have this strange feeling they're not going to change their preparation. They're not going to change their game plan. They're going to go, oh, we're going to go play the Bengals again, and we know exactly what they're about, and we're probably going to get torched. It's just, I don't know. I just don't have any hope, and I don't think so. Hope they prove me wrong, but I don't see anything to say otherwise.
It's going to be I don't even know what to say here. I mean, it's going to be a game against Joe Burrow. He had a really rough start to his season, but really did level off after the first like 2 or 3 weeks. Kind of the opposite of the Ravens, you know. It's Jekyll and Hyde at this point with these two teams. Calais Campbell, J.K. Dobbins, a couple other guys did not practice on Wednesday, and it mostly is Veteran Day. But we'd like to see Calais Campbell out on the field again. He has missed the last two games, but let's see if he actually practices on Thursday or Friday, and maybe he can make the game. So we'll see. I think the defense is a lot stronger with him out there on the field. This is it. This is the season finale of the NFL season for this year. What do you think? Are these guys going to be able to go out with a bang, or are they going to be out with a whimper and kind of limping into the postseason?
As much as it pains me to say, I think the latter. I think they're going to be whimpering and limping into the playoffs. Look, they should have had a killer instinct against Pittsburgh at home. Black jerseys, lights, Sunday Night Football. It's a rival. The place is packed. It's New Year's Day. You're up 10 late in the third. You had an opportunity with that run back to really put them away. The Ravens lack a killer instinct, and you have to have that in the playoffs. And I haven't seen anything lately. I can't even tell you the last time I've seen the killer instinct was probably in the midst of that 4-game winning streak in mid of the year. I don't think it was a killer instinct in Christmas Eve. I think it was just a battle of, two teams there, and the Ravens just didn't have to win. I mean, it was an 8-point win. It wasn't awesome. You had to come from behind against the Broncos, which was a trash game in itself. You put up 13 points against the Panthers, all coming off a bye week when you just trounced the New Orleans Saints in Monday Night Football. They haven't really played a complete game probably since maybe the New Orleans game, maybe all the way week three against the Patriots. Nothing of recent memory here and recent success that they have lead me to say, like, look, they're going to go in and they might have. Even if they match up with a divisional opponent like the Bengals, oh, well, they got their chances, man. They know the Bengals and they could probably take it to them and sneak by with a win and maybe advance the division around and the Elite Eight of the NFL. It'd be crazy, wouldn't it? But, Lamar's not practicing. This team's banged up. Apparently, they don't use their personnel right. They got two healthy running backs and they're hardly being used. The passing game's anemic at that best. They're not putting up yards, they're not putting up points. The defense is right now carrying the team. Crazy to say after the year that they've had starting wise, they've come in their own. Right now Roquan Smith's the star. He's the glue that's holding the defense together. He's making everything work. And so the Ravens go out and prove me wrong and have that killer instinct. They lack it. Years prior, they've had it. This year they don't. They had it in 19, which was a stellar year until the playoffs happened. Don't see it this year, man. We understand backups are in right now in certain spots, but don't matter, man. Play like a Raven. Have the killer instinct. Your rival came into your house and stole a win from you. You got embarrassed in front of your hometown, on national stage when it all mattered, and you took the sixth loss of the year. And I'm hoping that the team's just not being lazy because they got a playoff spot and they're not really fighting for anything because. You go into playoffs like that, you're gonna be exited as quick as you got in. And look, I'm happy the team made it. I'm not saying like, oh, rather than not making get a higher draft pick and only have four wins. No, man. I'm actually pretty excited that the team's got 10 wins and made the playoffs. It's something to be proud of as a fan, right? As somebody who roots for the team, you want to say that. You want the team to be successful and they're part of the dance. You just get in, right? But, Brandon, you know, you're fooling yourself if you think that they're going to go in and make any noise and roar like lions. They're just not. You know, they're going in very, very under the radar. No one's really giving them a chance. And, you know, everybody's like, well, they embrace the underdog role. Well, they're certainly very, very big underdogs because you don't have your star quarterback practicing. You know, you have issues with coaching and schemes and personnel issues and play calling and time management. Go on, man. They're not putting it all together and they're not polished. And the most polished win. And right now, the hotter teams are on it. You know, if you look at the NFL playoffs, look, Packers came out of nowhere. They're hot. You're pulling for the Lions. They're hot. Jaguars, hot. You know, they're the teams that have some killer instincts in them. Ravens don't. And no matter if – look in the AFC, man. Just look at the AFC. Herbert, quarterback, made the playoffs. Quarterbacks, Herbert, Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, all made the playoffs. Might even have Mac Jones in there at some point if they end up beating the Bills. Who knows? And what I mean is the AFC stacked with talent. And you got receivers, Diggs, Chase. You know, you have Travis Kelce in there, you know, with the Chiefs. You know, if the Dolphins get in, you got, you know, Waddle, and you got Tyreek Hill. You know, there's talent in the AFC. And the Ravens right now, yeah, they got the defense to maybe snuff out some of it, but there's no offensive firepower to keep up, and I just don't think they're going to make noise.
I just hope that this game they can be a little bit competitive. Hopefully it's a good turnout in Cincinnati after everything that the city has seen in the last week or so. But I hope that the Ravens can potentially for this last game fine tune some things. But judging from what we saw against Pittsburgh, this team isn't ready for the playoffs, and they should be way further along than they are right now. But we still, I mean, every year we talk about it, this team is also riddled with injuries. I mean, you think about it. Michael Pierce, he got hurt in September. He's not a part of this defense. Morgan Moses right now, he got hurt in the last game. Lamar, of course, isn't there. Calais Campbell, Mark Andrews, it seems like he's not at 100%. He's getting better. This definitely was his best showing in against Pittsburgh this past week. But he got hurt midseason and missed a game or two. So this team just, again, after it just doesn't seem like this team is very durable to go through an 18-week NFL season. But I don't know. Let's give our final picks. I, unfortunately, am going to say that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to win this game. I think that the score will probably be 27-13 Bengals. What about you?
I'm also saying Bengals, man. You know, you don't want to end the season out on a two-game losing streak, but we understand that there's playoff football on the horizon for the team, some bright spot. But, nah, I think Bengals, you know, with all the emotion involved, no matter what happens with the decisions and the ramifications of all of that, with the NFL business side, I should say, on that, and then obviously with the personal situation that's going on with Hamlin, and obviously the Bengals and everybody else are still thinking about them first and foremost. And, you know, I still think the Bengals certainly rally, and the Ravens don't muster enough. They go on the road and do it. The Bengals went comfortably in this one. I'm going to say 24-10 Bengals. I may have been too generous giving the Ravens 10 points, I guess. But, yeah, 24-10 Bengals, and we'll see what happens in the postseason with the Ravens opponent and where they end up.
So if let's just say that we're correct and the Bengals do win, that means that the Ravens have split all of their divisional series. They beat the Browns, beat the Steelers.
They were 3-0 at one point in the division, and then right. They lost three. They would lose the last three. That's crazy. They won each game against the Bengals, Steelers and Browns, and then lose the next three against them. They split. You're right. They'll split each one series, and they'll go 500 in division, which is insane. Crazy, isn't it?
So all right. So I just thought I was going to wrap up the show, but now that we're talking about that, is Lamar the intricate piece there? he went down and the season 2 years in a row now, he went down and the season completely flipped over and you know, that I thought that was always the thing with Snoop Huntley. I thought it was, oh, he can come in and it's no big deal because he's just like Lamar and we don't have to change the scheme very much. But with Lamar out and Huntley in, it's been it could potentially be three losses to divisional opponents. Now, I mean, I guess December 11th, that would have been a win for Huntley against the Steelers. But then to lose against the Steelers and he lost against the Browns already, potentially against the Bengals. Is Lamar the missing cog here?
I would have to say yeah, to a certain degree. Not wholeheartedly and solely the answer, but to some degree, because I just think now with – dude, they're limited Huntley, and Huntley's a backup. The offense isn't going nowhere with that. I mean, yeah, the offense wasn't really doing much with eight, but – they have a way better shot. So, yeah, that's why I think earlier I mentioned that I think with Lamar in there, yeah, they get probably a touchdown differential points. Maybe they get maybe 7 to 10 points more on offense. And it was just put out today. It's no secret. The Ravens with Lamar this year averaging 28 points per game. Without him, it's in the teens. I think it was like 12, 13, 15, something like that. So they're definitely a touchdown or more difference with Lamar out as far as points per game score. So, yeah, I mean, the offense is going to be, you know, with the ability to score, that chances go up. With the efficiency in that, because you still have the one Greg Roman calling plays and Lamar hasn't been playing well since week three, there's that other factor, and then he's coming off the injury. So how fresh and good is he going to be? Who knows, even if he even plays again this year. A lot of folks are saying he's just resting out for the postseason. We'll see, but, I mean – postseason is a week away, pretty much. They go to battle on Sunday, and they line up next week and play playoff football. They're a wildcard team. There's no buys, you know. And they are where they are. So if Lamar ain't practicing this week, he better. It's just like what makes you believe he's going to be ready for a playoff run in a week? Don't see it happening. That's why I'm like, look, reserve judgment. We'll see, but. Yeah, the Ravens' offensive chances, as far as scoring is concerned, they get way better with Lamar in. Obviously, the numbers don't lie on that.
All right, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Yeah, man, I think we got it. We got it covered here. A lot to talk about on this show. It was a good one, but yeah, man, we're at the end of it. Quote the Raven, never mow.
All right, guys, if you'd like to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Go over to our Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Join our server. Be a part of the game day chat, the tailgate chat. Anytime you want to talk Ravens, let us know over on Discord. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord and Hive, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, it's the last one. Season finale. This is it. It's Ravens. It's Bengals.
And bittersweet.
I know. Another regular season under our belt.
It flew by.
So that is it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Been a long year. It's been a crazy year. Been another fun year at the Raven Circus, hasn't it? So Brandon, it's always been being co-pilot with you, and not only that, but we appreciate all your guys' support out there, all you listeners and fans that interact with us and dialogue with us. And hey, you know, like Brandon always says, you know, we do the show, you know, not only that, because you know, we want to talk about Raven football, and we just want to put mics in front of us, but hey, it's good to have support, and it's good to be out there in several countries and do it for you guys. You know, we do it not only for our own benefit and our own fun, but it's good to have the support and good dialogue with you out there. And we hope next year you stick with us along for the ride. Invite some new folks on for the ride, because we're actually, you know, after this year, we're doing going to do bigger and better things. We're going places with the call, and we can't wait you to be a part of it and see what's in store for us next year. We're going to revamp some things. We have some good things in store. So look out for that in 2023 as we embark on a season finale and a playoff push for the Ravens. I know it's doom and gloom and grim, but can we get it done? We shall see. But the Ravens are a 10-win right now playoff team. Something to celebrate and rejoice here in Ravenstown. And how about it? One more time. Regular season finale in Cincinnati. Can the Ravens do it? Hey, we're doubtful, but hey, why not? Let's root for them hard. Me and Brandon predicting losses, but in our hearts, we know we're rooting hard for a win and a victorious way to end the year out in style. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's end the season with a high note, hopefully, and go into the playoffs accordingly. How about it, Baltimore Ravens? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.